In this episode, we continue our conversation with Chris Nova. If you haven't listened to the first part of the episode, you can find it on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. In the previous part, we discussed Nova's recent Rejection Fucking Sucks blog, touched on her love of the mountains, and her mission to rebrand failure. So here we go. Cloud Native Rejects with Nova, part two. Enjoy. So I just got through your recent CEO's new book, Ask Your Developer, Jeff Lawson, and it's a riveting read for leaders interested in building innovative companies. I mean, it's a sort of tour de force of all the high level aspects that might be important there. But two of the things that he talks about a lot are what he calls a developer mindset, which is being close to a customer, getting quick feedback, et cetera, et cetera. But I think what's more important that he talks about is creating a safe space in which to experiment, which I read as a safe space to fail. Now, it doesn't really matter how it's going at Twilio, but I am interested if there were periods in your career where failing was cool, where it was okay, where it's like we tried to do something big and it was like it didn't work, but that's fine because we knew we were on the edge anyway. Are there stories like that that you can share?
There's like little micro instances of, you know, when I started my career. I was working at a PHP shop and we were some of the first adopters of MongoDB. Shit went wrong, right? Like, yeah, like it was a crazy idea. Like the stuff broke, period. And it was safe to laugh about it, right? And like most things in tech, it gets carried away and taken to an extreme to the point of it being detrimental to everyone. But that, the ability to poke fun at technology was a safety net that later turned into a weapon, if that makes sense. But yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a fear of that, right? There's a fear of somebody using it or abusing that safety net. But yeah, even let's take Kubernetes, right? Let's the big one, the one that's on everybody's mind right now. I screwed up. There are parts of Kubernetes that I feel I could have made substantially better or done things substantially differently. And it genuinely would have had an impact on the world. And I didn't realize I had that power at the time. You know, I didn't know. And being able to look back at that and look at myself with forgiveness and look at myself and giggle at myself, that's a skill in its own right. And in any leadership position I've been in or I will ever be in, I try to embrace that. And I try to embrace that by leading through example. I love picking on myself. I'm more than happy to like pause and like get up from my chair and like stand over here and like point the finger and be like, Nova, you moron, why on earth did you create this thing in Kubernetes? And by doing that, I'm showing humility and I'm showing safety in making a mistake and doing something that you nobody does anything for the wrong reason, right? Nobody tries to write code to break production. Nobody tries to delete S3 and bring down the internet. Nobody tries to introduce a bug in the accounting system. I mean, granted, there are people who do, but even then, like, that's their job and they're succeeding at their job, right? But they might even screw up being malicious, if that makes sense. Like, hackers who break into your banks, I guarantee you they've screwed up breaking into banks before, right? It's not everybody's perfect. So my point is no matter what it is you try to do, whether it's good or evil, you're going to screw up. And no matter who you are, you're going to screw up. And that everybody knows it when I say it, right? But nobody talks about it.
No, you touched a little bit there on, I think, leading by example, right? Which is definitely not only one of the right ways to do this, but also a very courageous way to do it, right? Because leading by example means I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to assume the pain and the rejection of that. You said that a few times in your career, like a few glimmers of hope where you'd felt safe to experiment. What else did you see in those moments that made that possible? Was it just pure luck? Or are there certain things we can look to or perhaps take inspiration from that would help others to have a few glimmers of hope in their careers where they feel truly free or maybe even creative for a moment?
So I'm lucky. I was forced into a very dangerous way of thinking.
Okay.
Between trauma from my family, between my first startup going bankrupt, between being transgender my entire life, all of that ultimately led me to this one finite turning point in my life, which was the day I decided to transition. I still remember that day. And what happened? This is so, like, gender, the 90s in Texas, my parents, my teachers, like, I concede all of that. None of that's important right now. What's important is this. This is what is so dangerous about what happened to me and why it was so powerful. I lost everything. My house was in foreclosure. I was drinking myself to death. I had a loaded shotgun on the counter. You know, my partner had left me and took all the furniture. I was sleeping on the, like, hardwood floor. I couldn't, you know, my power got turned off. I didn't have heat. Like, I hit rock bottom and I lost it all, everything, food, my truck, my house, and it was gone like that. It was the most beautiful thing that's ever happened to me. 10 out of 10 would recommend. If you haven't completely stripped yourself down to your skin at one point in your life, you have not lived. I go out and sleep under a bridge. Stop what you're doing. Do it right now. Go outside and live on the streets for a week. Like, it will, for the rest of your life, you'll look back and you will be a better person. I promise you, it'll be the greatest thing you ever do. And so the point I'm trying to say is that is what gave me forgiveness and humility for myself. Truly, true forgiveness, to truly be able to say, like, you screwed up. Damn. You really screwed up here, Nova.
But, like, what did you screw up, though? What did you actually screw up? That's not clear to me. I mean, you made a big decision, no doubt about that. But when you say you screwed up.
I don't think there was one thing I screwed up. And in a weird way, like, this is me forgiving myself now. I mean, in a weird way, I didn't screw up, right? In a weird way, I actually did everything I needed to do. And one might even call that success.
You learn from it. You're better for it.
I'm better for it, exactly. And so... that, remember I said I concede everything about being trans and losing the house and everything? That lesson, that ability, that skill, that's it. That's the magic unicorn here. That's the gem. Being able to look at a situation like that and giggle about it.
I like this separation of it was actually Russell Brand. Do you remember that guy? Like, he tried it on as a sort of philosopher for a while, and I still like him. You know, he went from marrying Katy Perry all the way to what he's doing now, which is this very small, humble YouTube channel. But he said something recently that stuck with me, which is that people confuse serious and important. Like, just because it's important doesn't mean we can't laugh at it. And I like that, because in my life, a lot of times I've tried to laugh at things that, you know, you could argue were very important. But if you can't laugh, I don't know. I'm yet to find a coping strategy that doesn't involve humor.
Yeah. Humor, it's a wonderful tool. It can be used for good and for bad. I used to have people laugh at me as a defense mechanism, right? Like, and once you realize that that's something you have in your arsenal, that's dangerous. When you feel hurt, if you respond with laughter, it's very empowering and it's very effective. And it hurts. It hurts real bad.
What with all this, so many good topics, like, I'm sitting here, like, I made notes for myself to even ask you about various things of, like, I love the fact that, the Cubicorn project that you worked on, it's like first tenet is like community and empathy. And you've already said that like three or four times in this, and we haven't talked about Cubicorn yet, but like community and empathy and like being there for others. It seems kind of funny to delve into that. And I want to also even pick your brain for some system D topics, but some of these technical things, unless you're itching to talk about what system D things you're doing, and does it relate to all your Unify ubiquity infrastructure, or is this like too flippant to pivot and jump into silly technical topics, except for the fact that you almost on brand threw it back in people's face of like, actually, I fucking love system D. And I don't know if people were expecting that or not. And you kind of like, maybe for the sake of the theme of the podcast, you rejected the norm that I don't know if people were expecting you to say this or not, and you don't care and you just did it. But what's the project? What are you having fun with there?
I'm fine with it. All of these thoughts and feels about anything, they're interwoven. And everything from making a cup of coffee to working on Kubernetes, right? Like it doesn't matter. It's there every moment of every day. I look at it like this mesh that surrounds me, if that makes sense. It's like a emotional service mesh. It's just always there. I love a good transition. Let's transition over into talking about the systemd stuff, if that's okay with everyone here.
I'm on board.
Okay, let's do it. Heck yeah, let's do it. I'm not a systemd expert by any means. All right, I don't even know that much about it. What I do know is that it is a reflection of solving a set of problems just like Kubernetes is. I want to be clear. I do not like my code, any of it. I hate it all. It's all garbage. Even the stuff I wrote yesterday, I hate. And the stuff I'm going to write tomorrow, I'm going to hate because I'm going to want to change it because that's just the beauty of life. You're constantly learning and making mistakes, right? And Kubernetes is a reflection of solving problems for people. And we did things right. We did things wrong. Let's talk about deploying Kubernetes. That was called out of scope on day one. And that naturally was the first thing I wanted to solve because it wasn't solved. It was a problem. Installing Kubernetes on AWS was hard. It was like 2016 and I was on the front cover of Hacker News because I wrote a tutorial on how to use COPS, and COPS was like still like nobody even knew what it was. And it was like, yeah, set it up in Amazon. It was like, what? We can have this in Amazon now? Oh my gosh. And systemd is this exact same way. It's a bunch of things like that bundled into one project. And if you look at the kernel, if you look at systemd, if you look at Kubernetes, there's a ton of similarities. The scheduler, declarative software patterns, reconciliation patterns, configuration, extensible infrastructure, extensible software, writing software to watch other software and having that software watch itself back. Like this everything is this is systems programming in its most fundamental form. And let's break Kubernetes down into like its main four or five things that everybody uses it for. You can schedule your shit. If it breaks, it'll get restarted. And you can encapsulate everything into a small text file. And everything, no matter what it is, has to fit into the same API container, same space. We're putting stuff in containers, and you know, an application can be described using these 30 different things. And you know, these 30 different things make up what you as a human call an application. I'm sorry, I love Kubernetes, but that shit is not new. This is not a new idea. Systemd has been doing this for years, right? Like, if you've never written a systemd unit file and just had a bash script run when your computer starts, go do it right now. Stop what you're doing. It's. I assure you, it is no different than writing a Nginx pod deployment in Kubernetes. Probably easier, if anything. And yeah, like it's not new. The only big difference is the systemd is married to a single kernel, whereas Kubernetes is married to the idea of a cluster. And that's distributed, right? So what I'm working on is, I think there's two layers of the stack that need to be separated. You got to keep them separated. That's everything above Kubernetes and everything below Kubernetes. It used to be everything below the kernel or user space and everything up in user space. And that was the isolation boundary. And that's still pretty much there. But now there's this new boundary, which is the boundary between pods and nodes. And I think we've got everything at the pod level down. That's done. That's not exciting. There's no innovation left to do there. Now Linux and making Linux play nice with everything going on up there. Now that is a story that nobody's completed yet. And that's what I am starting to tinker with, which is now that we've created this new paradigm of Kubernetes, how do we look at what actually makes sense on how do we start governing all these Linux features? And there's so much, like it's obvious, right? Like look at CNI. How do you install CNI? You run a pod. The pod literally privilege escalates to the host, writes some files to disk, installs some binary, set up the network, mutates IP tables. Like it messes with your shit, right? Like it messes with your and then it runs. And there's this paradigm that you should be able to do that from the Kubernetes level. And I disagree with that. Like I used to agree with it and now I kind of disagree with it. And I think it's fine to do it from that level. I disagree with how it's done, I should say. And yeah, so that's what I'm looking at. And when I started to look at Linux and how do you configure Linux and watch Linux and have declarative software at the Linux level, how do you declare SecComp policy, SE Linux, how do you declare IP tables rules, how do you declare eBPF probes, how do you declare kernel modules, how do you declare systemd units in the most primitive form, what about booting, what about mounting disks, what about distributed disk, distributed file system, right? Like, bam, Pandora's box of things you have to govern in Linux that we've all forgotten about. And it's like, well, we can declare that too. Wait, there's nothing that says you can only declare what container you want to run above the kernel. You can certainly declare everything else. And so now, like, we're back to square one in innovation distributed programming's land of like, all right, what does the abstraction look like? And that conversation, woo, that's a fun one.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Okay, venturing down a really fun path, and I look forward to projects, because even like I was keeping an eye out where some folks are going with the virtual kubelet. I've watched the conversation with not just the CNI, but the CRI, of how it's talking to the container runtime, which tries to take the brunt of some of those kernel translations and, you know, host translations. And then here recently, even Meek G, the person who wrote the core DNS, recently did this thing called System K, where it's just like, let's bind these things together so it works directly more with System D. And it's, I think everybody's starting to like, you're feeling the kind of like back pressure of folks wanting to get into that space. So when you started tweeting on it, I was that's exactly where I was thinking your mind was, or not where you thought your mind was going, but where you kind of like the problem area to tackle.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you. We'll wrap up. Kind of informal thing that we've laughed our way into. What is your unpopular forecast for 2021?
It's going to be boring. I mean, if you look at it in the stages of grief or anger, right? Like 2020 was our anger year. Everybody got angry and fiery, and it was hot. It was passionate. It was horrible. That year, last year was terrible. I never, ever, ever want anybody I meet to go through what me and millions of people had to go through last year. It was literally one of the worst places I've been or could imagine. And this year I really hope, and I think, that it's going to be boring and people are just going to be calm about things. Personally, I don't have the energy to get mad about marketing slides anymore, right? Like, I used to get really offended when, you know, I would see somebody like doing a sales pitch, and I just don't care anymore. Like, yes, last year was the year of anger. This is the year of apathy. I'm like Kurt Cobain over here. I just quit caring, right? Like, it's, I've just given up. And I think that there's other people who kind of also are in that mindset of like, I just want to go hang out in the garden with my friends. Like, I just, that's it. And if and when we're able to get there again, that I predict that more people are going to just be like content with just sitting and getting a hug and being okay.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everybody is. And I think because so many people are longing for that, that inevitably is going to end up happening more.
Yeah. I saw the Twitter personality Ava Side say that, like, reached the point where I've forgotten who my enemies were, and it's amnesty, and it's just time for reset. Just, that was good.
I look at it like a, like doing the RMRF of the repository.
Yeah, yeah.
and you know, this is version like 4.0 for me. You know, I've done this a few times, and I'm going to write a bash script when I need to write a bash script. No more over engineering, no more giant monolithic repos, no more containers. Like, less is more here. Salt and pepper. That's what we want in our life, is just the bare minimum to get by. And I'm content with that. I've proven to myself and everyone else I can do all the big crazy things that I wanted to do. And I think emotionally and mentally, everyone's just kind of like, yeah, if we need to automate something, I'll just write a couple of lines of bash and just pray it doesn't break. And that's kind of where we all are right now.
Well, I think we've come to that time. I want to say a personal thank you to you, Nova. I know 2020 was testing, but I'm glad to have you back. And I hope this was as fun for you as it was for me.
Yeah, I had a great time. I sincerely mean this. Like, let me real quick before we wrap up, if I can just share a few things. One, the rejection post, like, yes, rejection sucks for both people. And regarding KubeCon, nothing but love and respect for the CNCF, for the chairs, for the folks reviewing CFPs, for everybody behind the scenes. Like, I know that I know who you are, and you know that I love you, and I just wanted to do that really quick. And furthermore, I also just wanted to just kind of highlight that we're all in this together, and no matter what, we're going to continue to kind of push through this. So even though I've said things like at Software Circus with you, you know, I was done with public speaking. Like, it's not that I disagree with public speaking. I just, it wasn't good for me at that time. And it took me to a place that wasn't healthy for me. And so, so totally. So like, am I back? Am I going to do speeches again? I don't know. But what I can tell you is I'm never going to let myself get back into that space that I was in before, because that was toxic. So yeah, I had a great time. I would do this again. And I have a feeling, if I had to guess, if I had to predict, I will definitely be up on a technical stage again at some point in my life. The question is just going to be when and where, right?
Nice. It's been a pleasure.
So thank you so much for joining us today, Nova, Vincent. It was a pleasure. Thank you for listening, listeners at home. If you have other ideas for speakers you'd like to hear on the Cloud Native Rejects podcast, please do let us know. How do you get in touch? Well, you can get in touch with Nova on @ChrisNova at Twitter, but I'm pretty sure you already know that. You can also follow us on Twitter at RejectsIO. That is RejectsIO. You can find Vincent at VBats with 2 T's, and you can find me at Mr. Coleman. Thank you, and see you next time. If you enjoyed this episode of Cloud Native Rejects podcast, make sure to join us next week with Liz Rice, who has recently joined Isobolon. I'm sure we will dive into eBPF and much more.